Hello and welcome to episode 8 of To My Younger Self, To My Older Self. This is part 2 of my interview with Simone. Enjoy. Okay, we ask question 2. Prosecco is kicking in, I love it. So, question 2. So I want you to think about what piece of advice do you wish that someone from the older generation had given you when you were younger, that some of that you've had to learn for yourself growing up?
I think for me, for that one, it would really be about self-love and self-worth. I didn't know I had potential until I was in primary school and we were at parents' evening and the teacher told my mum that I had potential. I was like, "Rah, have I? I've got potential." Oh, okay. You know, and I don't know if it's a generational thing, and I know that we have a lot more information and things that we can learn from in our generation than our parents ever did. So they pretty much just probably repeated how they were brought up, whereas we have the opportunity to try and change that cycle. And I think particularly in the Afro-Caribbean community, you know, I didn't really get told as a child, "Oh, I love you," you know, that just wasn't, so it's just not something we say. We more take the mick out of each other, we more banter with each other than actually say, "I love you," you know, or "let's talk," you know. Mental health is another thing, you know. I can remember being in my household and there's the opinion of there's no such thing as mental health. Depression is a choice. Is it? You know? So I feel like you said I'm a very intelligent person. I do feel that I continuously try and seek knowledge and then apply it so it becomes wisdom. But I've made a lot of silly mistakes. I've made some, for an intelligent person, I've made some stupid mistakes. And I look back and think,
that makes you human.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But you look back and think, you know, hindsight, what was you thinking? Where was your head at? You know, and I think it was down to a lack of self-love and a lack of knowing my worth. Now, I said during the period of me being what I would say semi-successful, because really the house was a debt, the car was a debt, and the minute I couldn't pay them, they were gone. So they weren't an asset. I didn't own anything. But during that period, I was in a loving relationship. I was getting the love and the nurture and the support and the encouragement that I needed that built me up to believe in myself and have the confidence to make those moves in life and step forward.
You're a cheerleader.
Yeah. But the minute I lost that, I was a bit lost. I'll admit, the minute we sort of broke up, I was lost. And I love my son. I don't regret having my son, but I often ask myself, you having him, having come out of that relationship or towards the end of that relationship, was that you seeking love? Because the Simone in the relationship, when I was in that relationship, we'd have conversations to say, "Oh, you know, if you ever cheated or if you walked in on me and another woman, what would you do?" And most women, "Oh, I'd beat up the woman and I'd beat up you." I said, "I'd just walk out and that's the last time you'd ever see me." I actually knew my worth in the relationship. But Simone outside of the relationship went back to something that I can't say I should never have gone back to, because I wouldn't have had my son. But when you think about it, if I'd had enough self-love and self-worth, perhaps I wouldn't have. But because it was the only love I really knew, he was the only person saying, "I love you." He would tell me the things he loved about me. Did I go and have a child because I was trying to replace that love and I was trying to find someone in my life to love or to give me love, that unconditional love that I felt that I didn't have as a child? So what I would say to my younger self is, I'd not only try and...
You haven't got to that question yet.
Oh, no, sorry. It would literally be, you know, one of the things I try and do as a parent is speak life. Parents, speak life into your kids.
Yes.
each and every day. I don't only tell my kids that I love them on a daily basis. I mean, even down to, was it today or yesterday? My son, he helps out a lot with my little girl. So, son, I really appreciate you. You're a blessing to mom. What would I do without you? You know, just little things like that to let him know how much he's loved. I've started to say, again, being sort of a Christian, I would say to him, you're blessed, and he's supposed to say, and highly favoured, but it's turned into a joke, and now he says, I'm highly flavoured. And I'm saying, well, what flavour are you? You know, another thing I do with him that I really did want to share on your podcast, and I hope that this helps your listeners and maybe it's something they can adopt, but we have this little thing. I used to do affirmations with him, and then he started to get really bored, but every now and again I'll say, okay, so one of the things that I actually say to with my son is I'll start it off by saying, who am I? And that's just a way of him knowing, okay, this is the start of what we're going to do. But it also affirms to him that I'm mom and I'm here for you. And he'll say, you know, who am I? He'll say, I'm mom. Then I'll say, I love you. And he will say, forever and ever. And then I will say, with God. And he will say, anything is possible. And then I will say, education is. And he will reply, the key to a successful future. And then I'll say, you're not going to have a girlfriend till. And we'll have a bit of a joke about that one, because he'll say 16 and I'll say 35. And then we'll come to a compromise. And then I will say, good, better, best. He will reply, I will not rest until my good becomes better and my better becomes my best. And then the last one, I will say, and other people's opinions of me. And he will reply, does not define who I am. Now, I didn't realise, he came to me, we passed a homeless man on the road, and he was like, Mom, you know, why is he doing that? Why is he begging for money? And I said, you know, unfortunately, he's not got any money. Let's give him some money to help him out. And I said, well, one day when you grow older, you will hopefully be in a position where you can help people like that. A few weeks later, he came back and says, oh, Mom, I'm worried that I'm going to become homeless. And I was like, am I putting too much pressure on this little boy? Like, I don't think I am, but the fact that he's worrying so far ahead. But instantly, I just said to him, I said, with God, anything's possible. Education is, sees it. And I said, why do you think mommy says that to you? He says, to help me become the best person I can be. So I said, you don't have to worry about being, I don't want you to worry or think about anything like that. If you just apply the things that we're saying, get your education, believe you can do everything, believe you have everything in you to achieve, everything will be fine.
But he will always have a home with you.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And you know, I'm thinking, if your son ever needs a home, I know he'd always have a home with you, but hey, he can come to me anytime. So he never has to worry, because he will always have a home with you. If he ever needs anyone else, there's me. And that's the thing, he's got such a strong and wonderful family network and friends. So no, he never has to worry about that. And you let him know that he doesn't have to worry about that, because if you get upset with him, I'll have him, it's fine.
Yeah. Well, it's probably because I do say so. Oh, I can't wait till you're 18. But in the next breath, I will say to him, you can stay with mommy as long as you. I mean, he did say to me about aged 4 that he's never moving out, because I do his cooking and cleaning. So and making food. So yeah, probably be hard to get rid of that one. But yeah, I seriously, I think it is just for me to know my potential through a teacher. And, you know, I don't think my mum was doing anything. I think she was just doing what she knew. Probably she didn't have that growing up, so how would she know any better, you know? But it's just the fact that we do know better, and that is what I'd definitely say, is I just would wish that. And it's something I'm working on now. It's something that I've moved forward on in terms of loving myself, knowing my self-worth. But again, some of the decisions I've made, some of the things I've done, clearly I had no self-worth. I didn't know who I was, and that's part of life, that's part of growing, that's fine. But yeah, that's definitely the advice that I would pass on, is just really try and love yourself. And it's a recent thing for me. I found myself, because self-love and self-worth comes in a lot of different forms, and there was a point where my kids would be wonderfully dressed, they'd be bathed, they'd be fed, they'd be watered, and then there was me just like, you know, pop down, no makeup, no hair, just about bathed, you know, Sunday washer. You know. And I had to really, because it's about self-care and just taking that time to look after yourself and nurture yourself, not just physically, but mentally, spiritually. And it's recently that I've, especially through this lockdown, it's been hard. It's been hard for a lot of us. And we've had to, what's been interesting is when you can't go out and you can't do certain things, you've actually got to take a look at yourself. You've got no choice, because you're in the house 24/7, to really start to unpick some of the things in your life and what path you're on and where you're going, and especially if you're not happy with where you're at. And that's really what's brought me on this journey of saying, well, actually, you need to take better care of yourself. You need to invest in a bit of therapy and deal with some of that childhood trauma, because part of the reason why you can't get to that level, or part of the reason why you self-sabotage or make silly mistakes, is because you've compartmentalized that trauma. You've never wanted to face it, and you've got through life fairly well up until this point. But to get to that next level, unless you unpick that and rebuild yourself, you're never going to be able to move to that next level. And that's part of self-love as well, really sort of understanding who you are and what you bring to the table and nurturing that. And you know, I've been trying to read, I've been trying to exercise, I've been trying to eat better, I've been trying to really turn my life around from the inside out. You know?
Right, Simone. Are you ready to answer the final question?
I stay ready. Ready.
Okay, so my final question is, what message do you have for your younger self?
Okay, so for my younger self, I think the message that I would really want to get across is to find your purpose from a young age. And we spoke a bit about this. I feel like people like your Beyoncés, your Lewis Hamilton, even your Michael Jacksons, they sort of knew their purpose from young and were therefore able to master their skill, you know, work on their experience. So when they came into adulthood, they automatically kind of became successful because they had practiced that. It almost became part of their daily ritual, the singing, the race car driving. So that's what propelled them into excellence, into being a winner. Often that word purpose gets thrown around a lot. We all have a purpose, we're all here for a reason, and people can spend a lifetime trying to find what is my purpose, you know? And I think the simplest way that I personally would define finding your purpose is, first of all, something you love. It has to be something you love so that you've got longevity, so that when things get difficult, you can stick through the hard times. But also something that serves others, because ultimately I do believe that that's what we're all here for, to help other people, to give. So yeah, just to a younger Simone, I think that there would have been a lot of obstacles that I wouldn't necessarily would have had to have gotten over. You know, I think most of us go through a stage of trying to find ourselves. But if you can find what that thing is that you love doing, that you enjoy doing, and you become an expert in that field, spend all your time and energy building in that field from a young age, again, something you love, something that gives back, then ultimately that is your purpose. Yeah, and I feel that the way that the system, particularly the educational system, set up, it is set up to produce workers. You go to school, you go to college. In college, they tell you find what profession you want to be, because you're going to have to go to uni and study to be that. Then you go to uni to get this degree, especially for those coming where you're the first person in your family to get a degree, or you're from a background where that is expected. That's like the bare minimum. And then you go out into the working world, into this 9-to-5 that you absolutely hate, and it's soul destroying. And you think, well, what can I do now? And time's ticking, and I need to make this money and get all these materialistic things. When actually, when you're in your purpose, money's a byproduct. It's not what you're aiming for. It just comes as a result of you doing what you love, that is serving other people. So yeah, I think that would definitely be something that I would say to myself is, someone, what is it that you love doing? What is it that you really enjoy doing? How does that serve other people? How can that benefit someone else? And then spend all your time and effort into honing those skills and becoming a master in that field. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to do the books. There's two parts to the book. So yeah, you've got the Black history side of things, and that's partly because, you know, that's something that fascinated me at a young age. I wanted to know my history. If you don't know where you're coming from, how do you know where you're going? And I feel that it's something that's not taught in schools. And I'm not just talking about slavery, because Black history is so much richer than just slavery. There's before slavery, during, and after. And most people zone in on slavery. And these books aren't just for Black people. And I think one of the things that has come out of recent events, and you know, this whole Black Lives Matter, is the conversations that are now having. So these books are, you might be a person that has mixed race kids, you might not have mixed race kids, but whatever race you are, these books can help you to have a better understanding. You know, a lot of the times in school in history, we'll learn about things like the Dark Ages or Christopher Columbus, but we actually skip across the rest of the history that is Black history. It's not just Black history, it's world history that has been omitted, that has not spoken about, probably because of a guilt complex. Well, actually, we're at a time now where we're all saying, yeah, let's have these conversations, but we need to understand where we're coming from. So these books, we talk about ancient Egypt, we talk about, yes, we do talk about freedom fighters and slaveries, because that conversation does need to have, we do need to have that. But we also talk about other things, Black inventors, sporting heroes, Black people in medicine, because a lot of the times if you're Black, you can only go into sport or music. Well, no, actually,
if you're an entertainer or a sports star.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, we were big in medicine. The first Egyptian that introduced medicine, Imhotep, was a Black man. So, and not a lot of people actually know that. So there is that side of it. But I've also sort of homed into the aspects that there are a lot of things that I wish I was taught, that I was never taught. The school system, again, and nothing, I do feel there is a place for the school system. But why was I never taught about emotional intelligence? Why was I never taught about money management? Why was I never taught, you know what I mean? There's so many things. Even us, the question I answered before in regards to self-love, that's given me an idea of another children's book. And these aren't just factual books, they're workbooks. So literacy, numeracy, that's all incorporated in there. And as a teacher, because I am a qualified teacher, they are aligned with the national curriculum. So it's twofold. Your child's learning not only the history of things, but it's still keeping them, you know, thinking about maths and thinking about English and still helping them in that respect in regards to school as well.
Academically as well.
Yeah, exactly. So that there's that aspect of it as well. So yeah, I really, really wish that someone had taken the time to, and it, you know, with the knowledge, again, it's something I'm trying to do with my kids. And you had raised a really good point earlier in regards to, I mentioned Lewis Hamilton and Beyonce, and we spoke about the fact that you can get parents that are trying to live vicariously through their kids, trying to live the life they never had. So I wanted to be a pageant queen, and therefore I'm making my daughter a, you know, a pageant child. And does the child really enjoy doing that? Like, are they happy to do that? So I don't think it's about forcing your child. I think it's about having an open conversation with them, ensuring that they're on board and they're happy. I look at Instagram sometimes and there's pictures. There's one particular child and she's got a really high following. She's probably about 6 or 7. Wow. Beautiful little girl. But half the pictures, she's not smiling. Now, as an adult who, when Instagram first came out, I would take 100 pictures, I'd narrow it down to 25, I'd edit the 25 on Photoshop, then I'd come back to it the next day to filter that down. Do you know what I mean? I was so obsessed to the point where I wouldn't be coming to your meal to have a good time, I'd be coming to your meal for the gram. I remember going out on one of my birthdays and my friends were like, so where do you want to go? I don't know. I just want to take pictures for Instagram. And that's all I was doing. Selfies, duck pose, you know, the duck mouth for Instagram. And it was really soul destroying because I wasn't living. But not just that, it comes back to what we were saying earlier about competing, and then you go through social media and everyone's life's great and my life's not like that, and now I feel really depressed because I'm not, and it's not real, is it? We all know, I hope we all know it isn't real. Yeah, so I just feel like it isn't about forcing them or putting your wants and needs, like impressing that onto them. It has to be something that they genuinely love, and they
just step in as a parent to
guide, nurture, support, open the doors for them that they need opening. So you've got a child that's really talented in whatever field, so now I'm going to go out and look for an, you know, acting coach, or I'm going to get you extra tuition, or I'm going to get you a singing coach, whatever it is. You're good at football, so I'm going to fly you out to Barcelona, or I'm going to work my bones off, whatever it's going to take for me as a parent to support you on that journey. But it has to be your choice and what you want to do. And again, I feel like there's ways and means of getting your kids to do things without sort of beating them over, not literally, but do you know what I mean? Sort of like beating them over the head with,
or
like,
just too pushy or controlling and demanding. But yeah, you're completely right. You know, for you to influence a young child, a mere human being, that's what they are. They are a mini human being, and they need to be treated as such.
Exactly. I completely agree. So yeah, that's one of the biggest things that I feel, that had I just had that advice and had that support. But again, we were coming from a community that it was all about education, and yeah, education is important, and that's what's allowed me to elevate in life. Knowledge is power. Knowledge, if you can apply knowledge, that becomes wisdom. But I just feel like there's so much more, isn't there? And it was almost this backdrop of, yeah, it's all great, you want to act Simone, or you want to take that route, but make sure you get your GCSEs, because let's be realistic, you're never going to be an actress. And had I had someone that would say, okay, we're going to still make sure you get your GCSEs as a plan B, but let's go and get you into a drama school, let's do that every single day. Do you know what I mean? My son, he does football, he's pretty good at it. He does kickboxing, and I've given him until age 7 to find a profession. And that might sound really bad, but what I'm trying to do is, you know, he said he wants to try karate. Yeah, sure, we'll try whatever it is you want to try. There's absolutely no pressure. But at some point, I kind of want you to think about what you really love, what it is you really enjoy, and then let mommy work with you on that. We're not going to swap and change like the wind. We're going to stick to the one thing you've said to me. And it's, you know, they might get to a teenager and think, actually, I don't want to do that anymore, that's not for me. And that's why education is still important. You still need those grades, you still need that as your safety blanket. But I just feel like if you can find what it is you love doing and it's not self-serving, it actually is beneficial to the world, then that's your calling. And if you can start that from an early age, by the time you reach adulthood, you would have made it, essentially, and you're still in a place where you're doing something that you love.
Wow, that is absolutely incredible. It's just been an absolutely wonderful, wonderful time sat here talking to you, Simone, and getting your insights on my three favorite questions. I can't thank you enough for joining me on for this episode. And yeah, so before we go, so along with the books for Kincaid, can you just let us know or let my listeners know where they can get hold of those books and where to find you?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Don. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've been so excited to do this, and I hope you do invite me back. They are currently available on Amazon. It's under Kincaid Publications. There's the Black Hero series. There's also Money Management, like I said, Emotional Intelligence. Join us, follow us on Facebook. Again, Kincaid Publications on Facebook and Instagram. We try to impart a bit of knowledge, as well as, you know, obviously promoting the books, and there is a lot more to come, so hopefully follow us and stay tuned.
Thank you very much. Okay, well, what can I say other than thank you very much, Simone, for being on, and thank you very much for all that are listening. I will speak to you all soon. Stay safe and good night. Thank you for listening to my two-part special, my interview with Simone. Simone is a wonderful, intelligent, beautiful young woman that I have the absolute pleasure of calling a close friend. Now, if you are interested in purchasing Simone's children's books, please review the episode notes. I have included the links for both her Amazon shop and also her Facebook. So please click and check those out. They are absolutely amazing and so beautifully illustrated. Also, Simone has left a final word, which I'm going to leave at the end of this episode as well. And just to reiterate her message, which is so strong and so relevant for today. But once again, my name's Donna. I'm going to leave you with this wonderful message from Simone. Stay safe and take care.
Yeah, so do not worry about what anyone else is doing. Do not compare yourself to anyone. Do not sort of look at the things that they have, because you don't know how they got them, whether they can sleep at night, whether they're happy, or what sacrifices they've had to make in order to get where they are or get the things that they have. There's a saying in the Caribbean community, and it's, do not study me because you won't graduate. I'll repeat it. Do not study me because you will not graduate. You will not understand my journey, my path as to where I am today. So That is literally the main advice I would really want to push, especially to the younger generation. The time you're taking to watch someone else is time taken away from your journey. So just keep pushing forward, keep going. One of the things that got me through, if you feel that you're not where you are supposed to be in life at the moment, or you haven't got the things you desire, it's just little affirmations. So, for example, when I sort of lost everything, I would see people in their nice cars, and, you know, like I said, I used to love the latest cars, particularly German. And one of the things I've reaffirmed to myself is, been there, done that, on my way back. Been there, done that, on my way back. So think of affirmations that you personally can reaffirm to yourself that on your journey, you are going to make it to where you desire to be.